27, the whole psalm, and it's about the three most important things in all the world. It is about the Lord Jesus Christ, it's about the church, and it's about being born again. And without these three things, without the Lord Jesus, and without the church, and without being born again, there is no consistent walking throughout this world. Some people, if they're saved on their deathbed, if they're saved in prison, may not be able to attend a local church. But even by having a Bible, which though the Lord provided it, the church has nurtured it and translated it, they will owe something to the church of God. First of all, this psalm tells us that the Lord's foundation is in his holy mountains. Now, the foundation that the Lord has made is the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything goes through him, flows through him. Each one of us owes everything we have and are to him if we're saved and if we're going to be in glory in heaven with him. By nature, all of us, as we know, are sinners. Very often we try to make out in our lives that God will be quite pleased provided we do this or that or are better than others. And it's nonsense, of course. We're all fallen. And not one of us in that state is able to please God. Faith pleases God. And that faith is directed toward the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the great foundation. By him, our sins are blotted out. And by him, believers may be raised from the dead. And by him, they live forever in the glory. Now, you will agree that these are the most important things in the world. But we're then told that his foundation is in the holy mountains. Zion was one of the mountains of Jerusalem. And it is the place where the Lord chose to make his dwelling there. And as the thoughts have gone down the years that not all of Israel are true Israel, but those who believe as Abraham believed, so the literal mountain of Zion as the place where the temple was built, now there is no temple, that teaching has gone down so that the church of God, and particularly the local church of God, is the place that is the true successor to the Zion, to the mountain of Jerusalem. There was not just one mountain. Jerusalem was made up of other little mountains, rather like Rome, was built on seven hills. But the Lord has laid his foundation in the temple, but in these days, in his local churches, in the church of God, seen as a whole. But mostly we don't see the church of God as a whole. We never all meet together in this world. So it's the local church. And the Lord has placed his foundation there. It pleased him to do so, and it is of his choice. We are nobody in particular, but the church has been chosen by the Lord. The Lord also said in Psalm 2, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." It is the Lord's choosing to place Christ to be preached by the church, by its members, by its preachers, by all who are converted bearing witness. It is the Lord's choice. Not that it should be an assembly, a parliament, not that it should be our schools, but that it should be among his people who are already saved and in the church of God. The foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ is in the holy mountains and is therefore in the church today. Now, not every church is true, but everybody seeking the Lord Jesus Christ should at least be told and know that the church of God is God's own choice for the spreading of the gospel, for the worshipping of his name, and for praying to him. Indeed, so important it is to him that we're told that the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Now, the gates of the city led, of course, to everything else that went on. Led to its marketing, led to its civic things, but above all led to its temple. And you could, of course, say that the gates themselves are important for where everybody's going. Or you may understand it as meaning that if the gates are so important, how much more important is the reality of what's inside. But so much, so dearly is the Lord placed the Lord Jesus Christ as the foundation of his church, that he loveth even the approach to him, to say nothing of all the worship of the church. He loves this more than all the dwellings of Jacob. More than our homes, more than the homes of believers, which he loves with all his heart, he loves the gathering of all the church together. Much though he loves our personal devotions, much though he loves our family worship, it does not compare in his sight with worshipping with the believers in his church. He has set his king here. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Of course it applies to private gatherings, but nowhere does it apply more greatly where the king is to be met than in the church of God. It is because it is objective. That is to say, we may have our private devotions and be a bit sleepy about them, or not understand what we're doing, or do them out of habit before we go on to something else. If we have family devotions, it may be if we can fit them in before somebody rushes off to school and something does everybody else. But however we feel, the time set aside to be with our brethren is time set aside to be in the place where we will actually meet the Lord Jesus Christ without fail. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Now, well, you know where Newton got his hymn from. Glorious things of thee are spoken. Throughout heaven, we shall be praising with the words, worthy art thou to receive honour and glory and blessing. The Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, the inhabitant of the church, the foundation of the church, is glorious in his holiness, in his righteousness, in his eternity, in his saving power, in his comfort. But all these glorious things are to be found where the people of God are worshipping where he is now. So he loves the church, and everybody should be encouraged who has any feelings towards the Lord to join with the people of God so that they may learn from the Bible, so that they may learn of Christ, so that they may pray with other people and be encouraged in their faith. We don't use coal very much nowadays, but of course in Victorian times it was nearly all coal fires. And Spurgeon, among others, used the example that the fire can blaze, but if one coal falls off the hearth, it will go out. And it was a good illustration that one person left alone, their faith will grow dim on the whole, whereas together we encourage one another. And then about being born again. You cannot do without the Lord Jesus Christ, nor the church. And then comes these wonderful verses about being born again. I will make mention of Rahab. Now, this is not the Rahab the prostitute. It's another name for Egypt. And, of course, the Israelites were brought out of Egypt. And, indeed, so was the Lord Jesus. I will make mention of Rahab of Egypt. There are two possible ways of looking at this. We'll start with one of them. Here was a well-travelled man. And he'd seen many sights in Egypt. Pyramids, been to Thebes, all sorts of things. And then he meets an Egyptian. And what do they talk about? Oh, I went there. Well, yes, I've been there too. Were you brought up there? They'll talk about something they have in common. That is, their knowledge of Egypt. And anything about them. They may be told by the Egyptian of other things that he didn't know about. But he says, I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon. He'd been to Babylon too. Babylon was the place where confusion reigned and where people turned from God. But maybe he'd been to Babylon. And if he met a Babylonian, he would talk to them about Babylon. They'd make friends. They would be joined together in friendship because of that. And then a Philistine. And then somebody from Tyre. And then somebody from Ethiopia. He'd talk to all of them about the places they came from. And it seems that the man who wrote this psalm was himself an Ethiopian, which may well mean that he was a black man. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there. And then he thinks about the overwhelming privilege it would have been to have been born in Jerusalem or in Zion, which he wasn't. Of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. And the Lord God the Highest shall establish the things that have to do with Jerusalem and the New Jerusalem, the Church of God. And what this psalm shows us is that it doesn't matter where we're born, we may become members of this Church of God. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people, that this man was born there. He was born in Ethiopia. But he loves the things of God. He loves the things of the Saviour. And he believes in them. And he has no merits of his own. And what he desires is that the Lord will impute the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ to him. Will impute righteousness to him, will count him to belong to that Church of God, though he wasn't by nature from Jerusalem. It wouldn't matter if by nature he was from Rahab. It wouldn't matter if by nature he was from Babylon, nor Philistia, nor Tyre, nor Ethiopia, nor anywhere. If the Lord counts that you are among his people, if the Lord counts that you belong, if your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that is what counts. But he speaks of birth. And of course the classic place about birth is in John 3 in the story of Nicodemus. And perhaps Nicodemus, though he was a ruler, and though he taught everybody else about religion, he didn't know the ABC. He didn't know what it meant to be saved. And these things that he heard from Jesus were new to him. and quite exciting to him. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In the verse 2 after, he says he cannot enter. Can't see it from afar and can't enter into the kingdom of God. Now Nicodemus is trying to puzzle out what the Saviour meant, and he goes on to explain. But we all understand that we are born with a natural birth. We do not remember anything of what happened while we were in the womb, despite some claims. We knew nothing about what happened before we were created and before we were born. We have nothing to do with our birth. We just appear on earth. We just become aware at some time that we are who we are, that we are us. So, what in the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ does being born again mean? Later on in the Bible it says that first that which is natural and then that which is spiritual. Unless we're natural people, we can't be worked on again by the Spirit to become newly born. But just as our flesh and our human nature had their birth, so if we are to have a spiritual life deep down in our beings, in the soul, this has to be born in us. You remember the word of the carol, be born in us today. And so it is that we are born again who believe in Christ by the work of the Spirit working in our hearts to receive the word of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it comes from the Lord. The wind blows where it wishes. You know where it's coming from or where it's going to. You just observe it. And when a non-believer looks at a believer, he can't make out why he's, who he is, what his purposes are, what are his motives, how it is he does certain things that seem to him to be silly, really. But the Holy Spirit guides those who are spiritual into all the things to do with the kingdom of God. And how can these things happen? Well, they happen by trusting, just as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, that everyone who looked at him believed and was cured. So those who look to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in him are cured. And so this psalm speaks of the Lord Jesus, and it speaks of the church of God, and it speaks that everything that is of the best comes from there. Doesn't matter where we come from, doesn't matter what time of history, doesn't matter what our education is, we are citizens of some place. But when we're born again, the Lord writes us up as being citizens of the Lord Jesus Christ, citizens of his kingdom. And the very last words of the psalm were that all my springs are in thee. Everything to do with our faith comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. But seeing that he is the foundation of the church is entrusted with the things that will cause people to be able to drink the rivers of life. The Bible is given to the church. It's given to the church to distribute among all the peoples of the world that it can reach. The same is true of the preaching. Preach the gospel to every creature. As many as we can reach, we're there to seek and reach. And so for any one person who believes, all the things that make for spiritual life are there in the place where the Lord has laid his foundation, in the church. Our springs are there because they will come from Christ. And this is Christ's place. And the springs that will sustain our living have come from the Bible. They come, of course, from Him. And there are many other ways. The presence of the Spirit. All these other things. But above all, our springs are in Christ. We belong to Him. Because of the things that He's done perfectly, these things are counted to us, and our sins are laid on Him. We belong to Him. We're identified with Him. On all our continuing walk through life as believers, derives from the Saviour, ministered directly or indirectly through the church and the scriptures which it preserves, through prayer and through preaching. As well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. I don't know if there's a hint here that the singers were not quite as important as the players on instruments. It's a little aside in the middle of all this, but what he's saying is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation in His church. And those who belong to the church are those who've come from any country, but now are citizens of this church, rather than thinking of themselves as citizens of the country that they come from. And that even extends to our gifts. It doesn't matter what we're good at or not good at. There's a place for every sort of person, with a high level of gifting, with a low level of gifting, among the people of the Saviour in His church. As well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. And the believer exclaims, everything I want, everything I ever needed, everything spiritual that comes from Christ are there available in the church of God. There was a time when perhaps it was popular with those who were listening to evangelists to go away and be private Christians. And where that happened, it was mostly true that their Christian walk did not survive. It failed at the point of wanting to belong to a local church. And because it failed at that point, it probably was not genuine, and so it faded away. Now, in the days of the Billy Graham conventions, many of the churches involved were not sound, spiritual, gospel churches. And to join yourself with them was not necessarily a good thing. But the person who believes needs to turn to the Lord Jesus, and having believed in Him, turn to Him to find where they should worship. As a famous minister once said, the Lord will not send His newborn babes to a corpse. So here we have the Saviour, the one higher than all. But He's the foundation in the beliefs that we have, in the teachings that we have, but above all in His work on the cross of the shedding of His blood to make atonement for sin. His foundation is placed in the church, and all from wherever they come should not hesitate upon belief to turn in among the Lord's people and discover that all their springs for the future, all their continuance over 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years will come from within the Church of God and the Saviour who is the foundation of it. May the Lord turn our hearts to Him. May He give us confidence that wherever we come from, we may repent and believe in Him. And repenting and believing in Him to discover that in the Church of God all our continuance will be sustained by him among those communities. Amen.